You're listening to the Locked In Podcast. Here's your host, Algernon Cash.
I'm Algernon Cash, and this you're locked in. Welcome back for yet another conversation right here on WTOB. Right now in our backyard, not only here in Forsyth County, but across the country, we are starting to see a resurgence of COVID-19 or the Delta variant that we hear so much about now on the news. And I know that has so many people concerned, whether you're a small business owner that might be concerned about going back under lockdown or into some type of extreme restriction, or if you're just an individual walking around out here that's afraid that you may actually catch COVID-19 or your friends or family might contract COVID-19. I think people are certainly getting nervous again. And so whenever we have this conversation, we've been so blessed over the last 18 months or so to have Dr. Christopher Ohl, who's a top infectious disease expert right here at Wake Forest Medical Center. And so Dr. Ohl has joined me, I think, at least three or four times over the last 18 months to talk about COVID-19 and make sure that we are educated, we know what to do, and we are prepared. And so I've got Dr. Ohl locking in with me again today. Dr. Ohl, how are you?
I'm great, Algernon. It's great to be back. I wish it was under different circumstances, but it's always great to talk with you.
As much as I enjoy you, Doctor, and have enjoyed getting to know you and meeting you the last 18 months, I was hoping that I did not have to interview you again. I was hoping that we had did our last interview together, but it seems like
when
we
you're
are.
Infectious disease doctor, no one wants to see you, I'm afraid.
So it looks like we're back. Almost feels a lot like it did last year when COVID first hit. Obviously, we're seeing the virus resurge a little bit different form this time around. We're seeing children actually contract the virus in larger numbers this time around. It does appear, when you look at some of these numbers, it appears the vaccine has been effective. I think it's somewhere around 90%+ of the hospitalizations right now are amongst the unvaccinated. And so, Dr. Ohl, I mean, tell us what's going on here. What is this Delta variant we keep hearing about?
Well, you say things are seems like it's the same as it was, but you know, in reality, it's not. It's really quite different now, and most of the differences are things that that are good. And so, yes, the Delta variant's here. I want to make a distinction because a lot of people are blaming the Delta variant for the whole thing. To tell you the truth, the Delta variant's just being an opportunist. It's just taking advantage of a situation. And way back in May, when we decided that we weren't going to mask anymore, and we weren't going to do any of the other mitigations we usually do, I predicted that this would happen and that Delta would take advantage of it. That's exactly what happened. So it's really kind of a combination, but it's mostly we've changed our behavior. And that'll be important because we can talk about how we could change our behavior back a little bit in a minute. So, but yes, there are more kids getting it compared to last spring and winter. Our kids are out and about more, not quite as sheltered, and they're transmitting it in their play groups and situations like that, largely indoors. We've had a lot of daycare outbreaks too, particularly in daycares that aren't masking. And there's been some camp outbreaks where masking's not been employed. So I said the word mask three times there, so people might kind of figure out that if in those situations masking was happening, the transmission would be a lot less likely. But the big difference here, the elephant in the room, is between vaccinated and unvaccinated people. And what's happened is we've left a sort of for the vaccinated people, we're transitioning from an epidemic that has serious consequences for those people to kind of an annoying endemic, which means it's causing colds as breakthroughs. And people don't land in the hospital and they don't have serious consequences. unless they're immunocompromised. And that's a huge difference. So the unvaccinated, unfortunately, are kind of stuck like we were in January. And they need to look out.
Dr. Let me jump in there. So are you saying or positioning that when we stopped wearing masks in May, do you think that was a mistake by the governor? We should have kept masks on throughout the summer? Or?
Well, you know, you approach it from the governor's side. Was it a mistake? I don't know, because he has to think about a lot of other things. What happened was, is I think the CDC initially came out and say, if you're vaccinated, you don't need to mask around people. And everyone interpreted that to mean that we don't need to mask. And if you remember, the governor said the exact same thing the CDC said. But it was people largely thought it was a signal that we're done and misinterpreted. And so human behavior being what it is, felt good to not be under the throes of COVID restrictions anymore. And unfortunately, the mask has kind of become the symbol of that. So where the reality of the situation is that some of the restrictions that were great to release were getting businesses back open again and not having to close things down, and the lockdown, making those schools that were closed kind of thought they could open, getting summer camps going, summer programs. These are all things that we want to do, and I think we still can do, as long as people think about them and find a way to do it in a safe way. But I still, and I don't want to leave this unsaid, right now, if you're unvaccinated, this is really the time you're going to need to go get it, because you're going to get immune to COVID one way or another if you're unvaccinated. You can either go get the vaccine or you can get the infection. I think that it's a lot safer to just go get the vaccine. If you get it, you get the infection, you're much more likely to end up in the hospital.
Yeah. There's some frustration amongst some people that feel like the science around this continues to change. So the CDC says, well, you need to do this. And then they'll say, well, no, you need to do that. And now they're coming out, they'll say something different. Is the science changing, or is the science just trying to respond to the virus?
That's a good question. I mean, and actually, Algernon, it's just as frustrating for me to try to keep up too. But the science doesn't really change. I mean, the principles of the virus and how it transmits and what happens and how it mutates hasn't changed. It's just we learn more about the behavior. And so, for instance, 2-3 weeks ago, the CDC says, well, we got to mask indoors again. And that came about because of a fairly large outbreak that happened out in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, where we saw that that vaccinated to vaccinated people transmission can occur, and particularly in high risk areas, because what was going on up in Massachusetts was basically a 10-day dance party. 60,000 people in a town that normally has 5,000, and they were having a big dance party unmasked. And if you know a little bit about how the virus spreads, it's not surprising it happened, that vaccinated to vaccinated transmission. And so, and that's why the mask mandate is where it is now, and why the CDC suggests it, because we know it can happen. The concern is that if a vaccinated person breaks through, that they could give it to an unvaccinated person who's at higher risk of complications. So if you think about it in your own household, if, Uncle Eddie decided never to get vaccinated, and Uncle Eddie has diabetes, maybe a little overweight, and has some chronic lung disease, it's a big deal if you break through in the household and then give Uncle Eddie the infection. It's dangerous for him. For you, as the vaccinated person, it's mostly an annoyance. For Uncle Eddie, it's a big
deal. So for the people who have caught COVID and maybe have developed some natural immunity to COVID, how are we how are we counting those people? Are they part of the vaccinated? Yeah. Are they part of the unvaccinated? Are they just sort of out there and we don't know what that number is? Or because when they say around 30% of the population is unvaccinated, are we still counting the people who have natural immunity or not?
No, because there's overlap. So some of the people who've been vaccinated are also people who've had COVID before. So, but and how much of that overlap, we don't really know. But yeah, it does add on. So if you look at Forsyth County right now, this morning we were about 57% over the age of 18 have been vaccinated. And then if you throw on another 20% who've had COVID before, then that's getting into a range that's going to make virus transmission a little bit harder. And which gets me to the point here, I think this current surge, wave, hiccup, whatever you want to call it, is not going to be a long-lived thing. Because if you think about it, if you have 100 cases a day in Forsyth County and unvaccinated people, in a de facto way, those people are getting vaccinated. They're getting vaccinated directly by the virus. They're getting vaccinated the hard way. But yeah, they will develop immunity. And it's going to get harder and harder for the virus to slog through a population of people unimpeded. And it'll get, transmission will slow down. The wave will eventually peak and it'll go away. And if you look at England and India and some other countries, even Missouri in our own country, it looks like you got about maybe 2 months, month up, peak, and then a month down. So hopefully all this will be getting behind us sometime around the first part of October, and we can start talking about having trick-or-treating instead of COVID.
You know, Dr. Ohl, school is getting ready to restart. I know my daughter, she just graduated high school. She's on the way to ECU next week, and then K through 12 starts back up here soon. Are we moving too quickly to get students back in classrooms, or what's your opinion on kids getting back to school?
No, you know, I have some pretty strong opinions on that. Actually, I think we learned last winter and spring that kids can be in school. You just have to think about it and how they're at it. And we know that 3 feet of distancing largely works. I don't think that'll be any different as long as kids are masked. That's the key, is that kids should be masked in school, not only in the classroom, but also in the after-school activity, the after-the-football game pizza party. Even if you're going to have your standard football game after your high school with your on Friday night, going to be outdoors, which increases the level of safety considerably. And if you have a bleacher full of people, just have everyone put a mask on, you're going to get through the football season. So those schools who are mandating masks and encouraging masks, particularly those schools who have a predominantly vaccinated population, I think are going to do very well this spring or this fall. But I'm worried some about the schools that have basically made it mask optional.
Yeah.
It means that kids largely won't be wearing masks. It may be hard for them to get through 2 to 3 weeks because they'll have enough cases where the contact tracing will be hard.
My daughter just got the vaccine and she was very resistant to the idea of getting the vaccine. I think what finally convinced her and won her over is ECU basically said that you can come back to college without the vaccine, but if you're exposed to someone who has COVID, you have to quarantine for 14 days. And so that's not anything an 18-year-old wants to do. So that motivated her enough to go get the vaccine. And I thought what you said a moment ago is very interesting. Even some of the people who are resistant to taking the vaccine, technically you are getting vaccinated. You're just doing it the hard way by actually catching COVID. How long is the vaccine effective? Are we going to be 12 months from now talking about everybody, 300 million people need to get a booster? Or?
Well, there's two things to think about it. I think at some point we're going to need a booster simply to cover the variants that we know that are out there and to make sure that we have robust immunity. Right now, the three vaccines we're using in the U.S. seem to be hanging in there for serious disease and for hospitalization and death protection. For immunocompromised people, people who are severely immunocompromised, quite shortly, in fact, by the time this airs on Sunday morning, we'll be doing it, we'll be giving them a third shot. It's really technically not a booster for them. It's part of their original series, but it's three doses for them. For the rest of us, for messenger RNA, it'll still be two. But yeah, I don't think the rest of us right now who are otherwise healthy need a booster right now, because the vaccines seem to be holding up. Yeah, there's some breakthroughs here and there. Those are largely infections, you know, in the, we call them upper respiratory tract infections. Basically, it's a cold. Some of the colds are a little bit more severe for that person. You know, you may have symptoms for a week or so, kind of like a bad flu. But for most people, it's a couple, 3 days. You might lose a little smell with it. But like I said, it's mostly an annoyance. Biggest annoyance is you still have to isolate. But if you're vaccinated and you're exposed to somebody with a COVID cold, you don't have to limit your movements. Put your mask on and go about your business, and then test it in a couple days. If that's negative, you're in the clear.
Now, Doctor, why do you think, you know, there seems to be this polarization between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated? And I watch my Facebook timeline. Maybe I watch it too closely, and I see people go back and forth, and certainly see a bunch of conspiracy theories. And some of these conspiracy theories, Dr. O, I'll be honest with you, some of them sound really real. Like, I read them and they sound really legitimate. So I'm, you know, sometimes I'm scratching my head on what to believe. Why do you think this virus and the nature of the vaccines have just polarized the entire country?
Well, that's a tough question. Ask a sociologist. You know, as far as my theory is, at least for COVID, the psychology here is that, it's something that we see in medicine as a whole, that if, when somebody gets ill, if they just refuse to accept it, refuse to participate, they refuse to believe it, it kind of feels like that thing didn't happen to them. You know, we see this with cancer, for instance. And in this case, it's, I think people are just sick and tired of COVID. And I'm not going to play anymore. It doesn't matter. I just call them refuseniks. I refuse to get vaccinated. I refuse to wear a mask. I refuse to get tested when I get sick. I refuse to quarantine. I refuse to die. The refusing. There are some people who don't want to be vaccinated who are legitimately concerned, and boy, I'd stand by and I'd be there forever to answer their questions and help them feel better. I'll even hold their hand and go down and give them the shot myself. But the refuseniks are a little bit harder to deal with, and I don't know how to say it nicely, but you know, eventually, going to think of it as a battle between those who are vaccinated and still paying attention to COVID and those who are not. Pretty clear is going to win this one. So,
I had someone ask me a question. I want to work this one in for you. I want to get your reaction to this. You've seen a number of incentives related to taking the vaccine. You know, take the shot, you might win $1 million. Take the shot, you could get a $100 gift card. Take the shot, you might get a 55-inch screen television. Are we over-commercializing the vaccine process, or do you think those incentives actually do cause people to respond?
Yeah. The lottery didn't really seem to make a lot of impact. The gift cards have been, but you know, the gift cards have come up at the same time Delta has too. So I think a lot of people see what's going on right now and they're like, you know, I was sitting on the fence hoping COVID would go away and I wouldn't need to get the shot, but it's not. So I'm going to go in and get it. I think that's more what's going on. Yeah, maybe it's a little over commercialized as a direct answer to your question. And really there's five reasons to get vaccinated. One is totally selfish. Protect yourself. protect yourself from landing in the hospital or maybe even dying. Two, to protect the people around you. Cocooning your person around other vaccinated people will protect them. Not 100%. Nothing's 100%. Largely. Third is to start doing some normal things. If you're vaccinated, you can go about doing stuff. Throw a mask on when you go to the fitness center. But if you're vaccinated and you got a mask on, you can go exercise. You can do some things. Whereas if you're unvaccinated, even with a mask, you probably don't want to do it. Fourth is to be a good citizen and to really be there and help the community get that level of immunity up so that we as a whole entire society can crawl out from under this COVID rock. And fifth is because you don't have to quarantine because you're exposed. That's a very good reason. So five good reasons to get vaccinated.
Do you predict that, the current trajectory we're on right now with the Delta variant? I know every small business owner out there in my audience has this question burning inside their minds. Do you predict or think at some point this year we might be back under some lockdown or extreme restrictions like we saw last year?
Well, I really doubt it. And I really hope not. I mean, I don't think it's necessary to do that level of mitigation right now. Unless something drastically changes. I think that one can go do things that they want to do, but have some modifications. So let's say you're a small business owner, and you do sports, taekwondo, let's pick for kids, rather than just have a big shutdown and not doing it. Take some of it outside if you want to have close-to-close competition. You're indoors, have everyone mask, spread out in line drills and doing drills, but limit the face-to-face close. So you'd probably still get by with it. You're running a gymnastics gym, have everyone mask when they're doing this. People don't like it as much, but, it's better than not doing it. And if you have a retail business, just put a sign on saying we respectfully request that you mask when you come in for our employees' safety and sense of well-being. Most people comply. They'll get a refuse nick every now and then. For the most part, they can. So, let's try to find ways to do things that we still want to do. But just find a way to do it in a little bit safer. We'll get through this Delta wave. It'll be behind us. And in a way, this might be the last worst wave, unless some other horrible mutation comes down the road. And there's only so many ways the virus can mutate. This might be the last big hurrah. And what comes up from now, maybe more waves. Pocket outbreak.
Well, Dr. Old, from your mouth to God's ears, we do hope it's we hope that we're at the tail end of this, and maybe I won't have to interview you again. We can just get together and have a beer or something normal
in the evening.
But we hope this is it. I thank you so much and appreciate you, and just so honored that you come and share this insight and knowledge not only with me but the audience. I know they get some value out of it. So many people have questions and just curious about what's going on. And then I do think you have some people who just try to stick their head in the sand and ignore it and pray to God that it all goes away because they're just exhausted with it. But if you live in Guilford County, if you're in my audience and you're in Guilford County, they are imposing their mask mandate. So you will need to start carrying your mask and wearing a mask when you go in any business in Guilford County. I think they may be debating the same here in Forsyth County. Or either at the municipal level, at the city level. So that may be something that you see coming down the pipe. So I would just encourage my audience. I don't want to necessarily be the person to tell you to go take the shot if that's not something you want to do. But for those who have not taken the shot, if you are unvaccinated, then wear your mask, be safe, socially distance, do all the things that Dr. Old just talked about on the show so that hopefully not only you don't get sick, but we don't get other people sick. We just strongly encourage everyone to just continue to be safe And be smart, be sensible, use common sense when you're out there, you know, dealing with folks. And as always, I want to thank you for locking in. I want to thank my sponsors. Really appreciate you all supporting the show. Make sure you all stay tuned into WTOB every single week. Don't forget, every week I do Restaurant of the Week on WTOB as well. So we give you a good idea where you can go and get some good food here in town. So make sure you stay tuned to WTOB for that. And then, as always, you can find me, Algernon Cash. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I've got a YouTube channel. I am everywhere. And I would love for you to absolutely lock in with me. Until next time, y'all stay locked in.
The executive producer of the Locked In podcast is Algernon Cash for WCG. The associate producer is Tim Beeman for Such and Such Media. The views and opinions in this podcast are solely those of the contributors and are not necessarily those of our distributors or hosting company. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without express written consent of WGC.